Extend each one greetings in Jesus' name this morning, and also from the Winchester congregation. Enjoyed the singing this morning, especially that song, O Father, Lead Us. That song has a special place in our hearts, my wife and I think I can speak for her as well. In 2 weeks, be 45 years, 2 weeks today, be 45 years that she and I walked back the aisle of Rife's Church. That was a song that was being sung. We committed ourselves to that, to life together. Little did we know what life would hold. Little do we know what life may hold, but we're committed together to continue on allowing the Lord to lead us. And I trust that can be your testimony too. 45 years, how did they get here? One day at a time. Hardly realize, you young marrieds out there, take courage. But one day, if the Lord tarries, you'll be there and beyond. So may the Lord bless us all as we continue on serving Him. Times are not getting better. We need more and more to cleave to the Word of God. We need more and more to pray and to be what we need to be in this ungodly generation and world in which we live. Message this morning is taken from a verse that you'll find in Romans 16, verse 19, the latter part of that verse. And I'll just read the whole verse here. It says, Romans 16, 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil is the message title. Paul here was ending his letter to the Roman church, and he commends them for their obedience. He said, it's come abroad unto all men. It was not something that was secret. Their faith in God and their obedience. And he was glad. And yet, he ends this verse with a word of warning and caution. When he said, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, there's none of us that would not desire more wisdom for that which is right and that which is good. And surely we need to remain awake and alert to avoid that which is evil. Being wise carries the thought of believers being endowed with spiritual and practical wisdom. The word simple, or the related word guileless, according to Vine's dictionary, is without evil, free from admixture. And that was kind of a new word to me. But it's very simple meaning. Admixture means, according to Webster, the fact of being mixed. And we don't have to think or look around very far till we understand that this world is mixed up. It's confused. It's calling right wrong and wrong right. And this word being simple or guileless, without evil, free from admixture, free from any mix of unrighteousness or wrong in our life. And so we know that Satan is behind in the administrator of the works, the evil in the world. He's behind it. He's trying to, and he just loves to get people mixed up in their thinking from what is right and true. And that's the danger you and I face today as we continue to walk with the Lord, that we would walk that walk that is without mixture, that we would embrace the pure gospel, the pure principles of the Word of God. And we look at those who have lost out in the faith and we wonder how it happened. How did they get there? It's a subtle drifting away from the gospel truths that we have in the Word of God. You know, as we understand as Christians that when we're born again, regenerate, and begin to walk the Christian life, there's many good things, there's many positive things, there's many profitable things and activities at which we can safely engage. However, we soon discover that there's the opposite involved. We soon discover that there are many evils, things which would lead us away from Christ that are out there as well. And so we have both sides. We deal with this kind of thing day to day in our Christian lives. In our being wise unto that which is good, we learn to detect the evil and cleave to that which is good. As we embrace truth, we will pursue those values and those things, those activities that will build our spiritual lives and our characters. Friends, this morning, it does matter what you and I allow into our thinking and into our lives as we walk the Christian walk of faith. It does matter. And I think that was Paul's concern for the Roman church, that they would be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The Romans, in the Roman culture and society, there was a lot of evils. And here was this Christian church in the midst of all that debauchery and sin and evil. Paul was encouraging them. And we need to be encouraged today as well. Romans 12, latter part of 9, verse 9 says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And it was interesting to look up those two words and see what they really mean. Abhor means, according to Vine's dictionary, it denotes that of shuddering or that something we need to hate. And cleave, on the other hand, means adhere to, cling to. Stick to it as though your life depends upon it. And isn't that what we need to do in our spiritual lives? We certainly do need that. I believe much can be accomplished in the study of, and I know that much can be accomplished in the study of truth, of God's Word, and that type of thing. But on the other hand, I think we need to have a very limited study on that of evil. We should not be reading and studying into a lot of things like cults, religious, the occult, false religions. I'm not saying you can't. I won't stand here this morning and say that a mature, stable Christian cannot pick up a book of that kind and read it and lay it down and not be affected, but beware. When you read that kind of thing, you are stepping more directly into Satan's territory. Beware. Just throw that out as a warning. I may bring that up a little bit later, but the picture I get here then of the word cling or cleave, I don't know why it made it come to my mind, but I just thought about a man maybe standing on the edge of a precipice, a cliff. And somehow he makes a misstep or the ground gives way underneath of him and he finds himself falling over the precipice. And there's something that he can grab onto and he grabs onto it for his life because if he would let go, it would mean certain death. And that's the way we need to embrace truth, friends. I believe that is the connotation here of cleaving and clinging to that which is good. Because to let loose of biblical truth, to let loose of that is certain spiritual death. We can't expect to dabble into that which is unrighteous for long and not be affected. We can't do that. It's just, that's not the way it works. And so, that's the way it is in our Christian walk of life. We let loose of truth, of Christ, that which is scripturally sound, principles that are found in the Word of God and their biblical applications. When one lets loose of that, then what? Then they will embrace something that is certainly to lead them to spiritual death. Because that's a given today. And I know we understand and we must understand that that is a given. A person will always believe something. If we step aside from the truth of God's word, we're going to embrace something that is less than truth. Don't allow Satan to ever trick you into thinking that that's not the case, because it is. Oh, you know, some people might think, well, I can just take part in this little thing for a little while and it won't hurt. Satan's more subtle than that. He's more crafty and clever than what we would ever expect he would be. Let's beware. Well, I'd like to look at some areas of being simple concerning evil. The little verse we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not a very long verse, but very power-packed for you and I. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul was a man that after his conversion was simple concerning evil. And according to this verse, he wanted no part of that would even look like evil or appear like evil. He didn't want any part of it. Another verse we find to give us some of the same thought is 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship? It asks the question. What fellowship hath unrighteousness? And what with unrighteousness has, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Remember the definition. Free from admixture, what it is. How close can one come to pleasing the flesh, possibly wanting to copy the world's fads and fashions, begin to deviate just a little bit before they're really affected spiritually? I believe if we're tempted in this way, we need to simply run the other way. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. I pretty much concluded in my mind that my willingness, your willingness, but I'll make it personal, my willingness to be honest with myself in the issues of life is going to go a long way in my keeping being simple to that which is evil. You need to be honest with yourself. I need to be honest with myself. If we're less than honest with ourselves, friends, we are throwing ourselves wide open for deception, self-deception. We may not think about it in that way, but that's what it is, self-deception. And so we just simply need to be honest with ourselves concerning the issues of life. Paul speaks about here the appearance, and Webster says of that word, Webster Dictionary, it's the outward aspect. It's the look. It's the external show, the semblance. Vine's dictionary puts it to abstain from every form, sort, or kind of evil. I need to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, what dictates what I do? What dictates the fad or the style maybe you or I are tempted to allow and to follow in my life? You see, it's a little like this, and I don't know if I can get this explained how I want to this morning, but, and if you disagree, that's fine, but I look at a person as they're living their life and they're tempted with something, and they start to move away from the solid truth of God's word, and they move away. Now, whatever it might be, you can think of things, I can think of things. But at that point, the Holy Spirit does not leave us. The Holy Spirit in our life will start to back up a little bit. And it'll come forward and prompt us according to the truth that we know. But as a person goes, Holy Spirit will back up into the shadows a little more. You see, and at times it will prick us, our conscience. It will try to show us the truth. But if I want to continue to move away from the Word of God, from the truth of God's Word, the Holy Spirit is going to back into the shadows further. I'm not able to stand here and say this morning at what point, as a person would apostate or move away from truth, at what point the Holy Spirit actually leaves a person. God only knows that. But that individual is on very treacherous ground at that point. The Holy Spirit is there, will continue to prompt us. And yet, He will not persuade us against our will. God always allows a person their choice of what they want to do in life. Now, he might allow things to come into one's life to try to wake us up or to stop us. I thought of the Canaanites, and God sent the hornet to drive them out. Now, you might say, well, God made their choice for them. No, He brought a circumstance into their experience that helped them decide right quick which path they was going to go. Now, I guess they could have chose to stay and fight the hornets. That wouldn't have been a very wise decision. And so He allows experiences to come in one's life to help to show us the truth in a better way, or maybe concerning something that we have allowed into our life that we shouldn't have. But He's there. So I just thought that the Holy Spirit working in one's life. There's a lot of other areas. There's things, I want to be practical this morning, and yet in a loving way, we have the scriptures that tell us that we're not to, for instance, not to wear gold. 1 Timothy 2:9, 1 Peter 3:3, very clear. Well, I don't think we wear gold. I trust we don't. But what about things that appear to be that way? Let's check ourselves. Let's be sure where we're at concerning these things. Sisters, I thought about, to me, there's nothing more becoming than you wearing the prayer veiling, the head veiling, and the veiling being the preeminent show instead of the hair. This is one thing I thought about. We see sometimes, get around here and there, and we see, you know, sisters wearing the veiling, and at, you know, they're back a little bit further, a little bit further, and finally, you know, there's a lot of hair showing. So I want to encourage you sisters in that way, and I appreciate the size and the coverings that we do have. I really appreciate that, and as I said, as I get around, I see sometimes much less than that, and I wonder. You know, Satan would like to shift that thing around to where the hair is the predominant. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians that the hair is to be covered. And I know the veilings don't completely cover the hair, but it does the better part of it. That's a scenario that I thought about. And there could be other things concerning our outward attire. Let's ask ourselves, does my what I wear conceal or reveal? Now I thought about, well, the woman walking down the street with skin-tight jeans on, she's covered, but she's not modest. So sisters, you know, I think about these kind of things. A cape dress can be made to conceal or reveal. A cape dress can be made to be immodest. Now I realize we men have our place to guard our eyes and so forth, and it can be that way on the brother side too. Our trousers and shirts can be too form-fitting and tight. Let's be simple concerning that which is not right, which is evil. The word evil carries a wide variety of definitions, and I thought about our speech. Titus 2:8 calls for us to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. How can our speech be condemned? Well, the world's speech is pretty loose. We know that. All the slang and the things that you hear today. But I hear sometimes out of Christian people, for instance, the word cool. And I thought about it. I can't imagine the apostles as they showed, for instance, as they showed Jesus the beauty of the temple, saying, "Master, doesn't this place look cool? It's this, you know, it's this cool." Well, no. I don't think they had that word in their vocabulary back then, but you know, if you look in the old dictionary, the word cool is listed as slang. Now probably I haven't saw it, but probably the newer dictionaries today may list it as a valid word. Anyhow, I thought of our children, and I hope no one here calls your children kids. I dislike that very much. And I know you hear it, people do it. But Jesus said of the little children, he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." He didn't say little kids. Of course, that word probably wasn't in their vocabulary back then. But, you know, where are we at concerning this? And I have to ask myself, and I trust that in myself I don't use these words, but it might slip out at times. It probably has. Incidentally, a kid is a baby goat. It always was, always will be. Let's beware of these things. The get-rich schemes, the lottery, sweepstakes, all these things, all these that come in the mailbox. Where do they go? They need to go in foul 13, the wastebasket. We get so much. Satan is tempting us time and again with things that will make us rich. Oh, you know, maybe you don't know, but I heard called the news one day, it's been some time ago, called the news on my telephone, and This Donald Trump that's running for president, he actually said the words. He said, I don't need, in other words, I don't need anybody else's money. He said, I am rich. Riches. Satan tempts everyone, one time or other, with wanting more riches. Let's beware of these things that are set up to ensnare us. Now, the area I thought about being simple to that which is wrong, or simple to mixture. What about our music interests? Are we simple concerning evil in this area of music interest? I think you know and are aware, and if not, you need to be aware that not everything, not every piece of music that is labeled religious is good for us or safe for us to have. Just in passing. What do we enjoy reading? Studying. I talked about studying into things. We need to be careful. You walk into a so-called Christian bookstore and we understand, I hope we understand, that not everything in there is safe to read. We need to be aware of these things. Books, magazines. If we walk into a convenience store, are we tempted to go down that magazine aisle? If we are, we need to get out of there quick because it's dangerous. If we're tempted to those kind of things, we need to be simple concerning evil and the influences that are involved there. I talked about studying into the occults, the charismatic movements, all those kind of things. It's dangerous because there have been well-meaning individuals that have done this. I'm thinking of one individual I know of right now that studied into the charismatic movement. If I name him, you may know him, but it finally led him off the straight and narrow. It led him away from biblical truths that he had once embraced. How's it happened? I don't know. I don't always understand these things. But I think I've said it here before, and I'll say it again. Satan has a hook. If you've ever done any fishing, and I've done some in my life, you bait that hook so as to cover up the hook that the fish does not realize it and clamps onto it, and he's caught. Satan is busy baiting hooks today. We need to stay by the scriptures to be able to avoid the hooks that he dangles in front of us in the world in which we live today. Let's be simple concerning evil in these areas. Let's limit our exposure because he will try and trip us. You know, there's people out there, I'm sure, this morning that probably never thought that they'd end up where they are at today. And yet, it was a little bit of the time. It starts in the mind, our thinking, things that influence our thinking. Maybe something we look at, something we read, something we get involved with, and it can go that way. Does the sports world attract our attention? Philippians 1:10, Paul says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, the sports section in the newspaper, just pass by it. The comics, pass by it. It don't do us any good. It's not simple concerning evil. It's not being simple. It's not passing away from those things. We need to evaluate things by the standard of God's word. If it doesn't measure up, friends, flee from it. go away, pass away from it. When we consider today who supports organized sports, the sports world, it tells us to flee. The beer and the alcohol and the tobacco companies, yeah. Well, you have the arcades, you have computer games, the internet. We all, as a church, we've been dealing with the internet issues, and it seems like there's just new things coming on the scene all the time. Beware. I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on something like this, but beware of the allurements in this area. When we travel, there's usually a television or a radio in the motel room. Beware. Leave them off. Leave them off. They're there for the ones that are living that type of life, not the separated life unto Christ. Not saying whenever we get a motel room, there's times we need to get a motel room, but just leave it alone. It doesn't belong to the kingdom of Christ. It just does not. Well, I'd like to go on now to a little bit more positive. Wisens that which is good. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The Proverbs, Solomon rather, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote those words. I'd like to invite you to Proverbs 2. There's a number of verses there. Actually, I'd like to read verses 1 through 9 that lends to this. Let us be wise in God's word this morning. It's the best antidote that can be recommended to avoid the evil in our world today. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, or he's a shield to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. That's tremendous scripture. There's a lot of information there. There's a lot of help that we can receive from that. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments, that means to retain it, that it becomes a part of us. Oh, I know of a lady we knew, we still know her, she's still living, but she told us one time, or told my parents, that she read the Bible from one cover to the next. Well, yeah, you can read the Bible, it's just another book. But when we study the Word, when we allow the precepts to be part of my life, that's when God's word, that we can be wise in God's word. Seek and search for her as for hidden treasures. Let's find. And what do you do when you try to find something? You hunt. You look. If you lost something around the house, you know this has to be there somewhere. Well, oftentimes I tell my wife, well, it didn't take legs. It doesn't have any life in it, so it's somewhere. And we upturn the chairs and we look, and maybe it's a needle or something she's using. And eventually we find it. But it takes searching. And here the scriptures are telling us to seek for it. As for a hidden treasure, find the knowledge of God. You want to know the will of God? You can't just read through the Bible. This is another book. You have to take it. Compare scripture with scripture. You have to study it. It's got to be part of your experience. Well, wise unto that which is good. Let's take an interest in others. If we see a brother or sister that's struggling in some area of their life, get to know them. Now, I realize, and I'm talking about something here now that not everybody's, how can I say, apt at. Some people are more apt at the type of thing to get close to people and talk to them. But let me tell you something. There's none of us that cannot earnestly pray for a brother or sister that we know might be struggling. Maybe something's come into their experience that's really causing them a problem. The least we can do is pray for them. If the Spirit speaks to us and leads us to talk to them, to get to know them better, to try to help them, then by all means, do that. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I need to hurry along. Let's always find, next area I like to think of is, let's always find out the truth of about a matter before passing judgment on it. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The two questions in this verse call for us to stop and consider others. Really, what is our motive? What is my motive if I in my mind pass judgment on a brother or sister before knowing all the facts? I need to be careful in that. You need to be careful in that. I come on to a little. I think I'll take time and just read it, because it has very good. It's a very good illustration of what I'm talking about here. Jumping to conclusions, story is told of a woman who invited all of her friends over for a special dinner, and desiring to impress them, she hired a maid, a butler, and a chef. She purchased the best steak she could find and the top brand of mushrooms to accompany them. When the chef noticed that the mushrooms seemed to be a bit discolored, the lady suggested he feed a few to the dog, since the hour was late and there was no time to purchase more mushrooms. If the dog eats them and doesn't get sick, they're probably all right. Well, the dog eagerly consumed the mushrooms and showed no signs of ill effect. So the chef completed the meal and served the guests. Later, as the dessert was being served, the maid hurried in and whispered to the lady of the house, "Ma'am, the dog is dead." Not waiting for her anymore, she leaped to her feet, told the guests they had no time to lose. They had eaten tainted mushrooms and must rush immediately to the hospital. Later that evening, after the lady and her guests had returned from having their stomachs pumped, she asked the maid, "Where is the dog now?" "Well, out in the front yard, ma'am," replied the maid, "where he crawled after the car hit him." The moral of the story: it's good to investigate a matter thoroughly before leaping to hasty conclusions that may result in harsh consequences. You see, the lady didn't take time. She didn't hear the whole story. The car had hit the dog. That's why the dog was dead. How many times am I guilty of something like this? I need to look at my own heart and life and realize that I need to know the whole story before passing any conclusions. And so, it's that way. How many times, it goes on to read here, how many times in the church have you seen people jump to false conclusions? How many times is a person's work character or motives questioned or even condemned without the benefit of investigation? How many times has someone been dismissed as a lost cause, all because of things we've heard? There's more, but I won't take the time to go any further with that. Let's be wise to that which is good and putting to practice God's standard of modesty. And we've talked about this, and so I won't say any more about that. I just had that listed here under that being wisdom to that which is good. Personal devotions, family devotions, another thing that we can't continually skip or we're going to lose out, friends. We're going to lose out. Let's be wise unto that which is good. These kind of things are deep heart issues. If it's not in our heart, it won't be in our practice. It's just that simple. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Sixth area is, let's think of those things that are good. We all know the scripture there in Philippians 4:8, but we need to pay attention to what it's saying and not just read over the verse, you know. These areas are serious. Think on things that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report. Let's think on these things if we desire to be wise unto that which is good. What's filling my mind? What's filling your mind? Money, possessions, houses, lands, whatever. Now, these in themselves may not be wrong, but when they take preeminence in my life, that's when they're wrong. When they take preeminence, when Christ and what he has taught us takes the back seat and money and possessions, houses and things, well, you know, Christ gave the illustration there of the different grounds. And the one was that the thorns grew up and choked out the good. The cares of life is one of the things that we're warned against. If you're still here in Proverbs 3, just going over to the next chapter, verses 5 through 7, says this: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil." See, I said 7, yes, we could go on and read there. But that basically sums up a lot of what I've been endeavoring by the Lord's help to share with us this morning. The Lord desires for us to be wise in that which is good. He expects us to make wise choices in a day and age that he's placed us. We can't live in yesterday, it's gone. We can't live in tomorrow because it's not here. But we can live today. We can walk today in his truth and his precepts, in which he has laid out for us in his word. The principles there that he expects us to make application to protect us in our heavenly journey. May that be our desire. I think about may we be faithful, may we be wise. There's souls out there today that are seeking truth. Let's show them the way. Let's speak to them when we have opportunity. Yes, there's many, many people that do not want to hear, but here and there, there's people seeking for truth. Let us be wise unto that was good, that which is good and simple concerning evil. May the Lord bless and have his way.